happy Sabbath to everybody. It's good to see all you here today. My message for today, I'm not going to give you the title right away because that'll reveal too much, but you'll figure it out as we get going here. We're actually going to start out with three scriptures on what this topic is about, on what I'm going to be discussing. So with that, we'll get right into the scripture. So if you could, please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And then we'll skip right down to verse 2. And this is, of course, near the end of Acts, the end of Paul's life, and he's about to be trialed, and he reads here, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews." Now, the key verse, or the key words that I want to draw from that is, answer for myself. The word here in the Greek, and I tried practicing this, but I'll give it a whirl. It's apologia. I pronounced it horribly, but there's a simpler term or a simpler word that you could use, and that is apologia. That's where this word comes from. Now, apologia, you're probably thinking, sounds almost like where we get the word apologize, right? Well, we'll go over that in a second. I'm just going to go over the other two verses first. So if you will, now let's turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Part of the prison epistles. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verse 7. It reads, "Just as it is right for me to think this all of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace." Heard that? The defense and confirmation of the gospel. The word right there for defense is that word I was just talking about, apologia. I'm not sure if that's actually how it's pronounced in the Greek, but us Americans, that's how we Americanize the word, apologia. Now, let's turn to the next scripture. This is the big one that the church uses and associates a lot with this word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And this may be a memory scripture for some of you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So this word right here, again, when it says give an answer, the other scripture says defense. This one, it says give an answer. That word is used once again, apologia. So now let's talk about what that is, apologia. Like I said, it sounds like apologize, right? Well, that word is not even at all associated with this word. Apologia means to give a defense. Apologetics is the word that we get from this word. And that means simply the same thing. Be ready to give a defense. stand for what you believe in and give an answer. And of course, the scripture, we're here in 1 Peter. This is the main one that's associated with the term apologetics. And the scripture says we do have to be ready. We have to be ready to give an answer to those who are curious or confused as to why we do what we do. Sure is different from all the other religions out there, isn't it? The stuff, the doctrines we believe in, it's unheard of out there in the world. People really scratch their heads when we tell them what we believe, if that opportunity comes up. We're going to go over two strong factors, though, that you need to know or have when using apologetics, being ready to give a defense. I'm going to go over the first one, which isn't as important, but it's definitely important. But the second one is so crucial. But first, let's go over that first one. And I just broke it down to simply use tact in your words, tactfulness. What does that mean? I know probably in high school, I probably would have been like, huh? What did they just say? But tact just simply means you are considerate, careful, gentle, and delicate when talking about a sensitive matter. So in other words, you're very careful how you talk to someone. You're not trying to sound condescending or harsh, yell at them or scream at them. You're being wise with your words when you're speaking. This is crucial, I would say, when we're talking about what we believe in. Because as I said, many in the world out there don't know what we believe, and it's so different from what they know and understand. So when we're talking to somebody, we don't want to offend them and sound condescending with pride. We want to empathize with them the best way that we can and help them to understand why we believe what we believe. Like, for instance, around feast time, once we get back, what do we all see? We see all the Halloween decorations everywhere. Someone asks you, "Why? So what are you doing for Halloween?" And, you know, then you start saying, "Well, actually, we don't celebrate Halloween." You don't want to start laying down the law on them and say, "Anybody who believes in Halloween is a pagan worshiper and scum of the earth." Does that sound tactful? Oh, that's the opposite. That is tactless. You are not being tactful. You're going to make them think, "Wow, I believe in God, but this guy is just, he's being nasty to me." They're probably going to say nasty things back to you. You're going to start a fight if you sound like that. You want to take a different approach. And the thing I was talking about with empathizing, how many of us, you could raise your hand if you want, how many of us did not believe or keep this belief from birth? How many of us discovered this truth later in life? Some of us kept all those holidays and different beliefs, the clean and unclean meats, the doctrines, it goes on and on. We could empathize with some of those people and say, "Hey, I used to actually celebrate that myself. But then I kind of found out some information and looking at the scripture that made me think, maybe that's not what I should be doing." It personally, that's what I thought. And maybe if you start to use those kind, gentle words with them, they might actually be curious and listen to you. But again, if you sound all high, mighty, prideful, like my information, my knowledge is better than you, better than what you know, that's going to make them walk away. I would walk away too. I'd be like, "Okay, I gotta go. Bye-bye." No, we want to be gentle. So using tact is so crucial. I can't stress that enough, and I think we all know that. We don't want to offend anybody. We want to bring them to the truth. And this is the next big factor, though. We want to bring them to the truth, but before we even do this, we ourselves need to have a strong foundation. If we do not have a strong foundation in God's Word and know the Bible and understand it, we won't have a strong foundation and we will be pushed over very easily and say, well, why do you believe in this? Oh, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Oh, yes, it does. I don't know the scripture. And then they might not, they might not buy it as much. And that could be difficult. That's a lifelong task, knowing the Bible. There's so much information here. But if it's a subject that you know about and studied a lot, and you know scriptures and a bunch of information, I'd say just try to stick to that and don't try to go off and give them every doctrine that's out there, because that's going to blow their mind up like, whoa, that's too much. Focus on a little thing. But having this strong foundation, like I said, how do we get there? How do we get to this point? And that's just simply study your Bible. We got to try to read it every day. Even if it's a couple scriptures, maybe we could start off there and start building our way to full-blown chapters or even more. I know I got to get better with that. Sometimes with work weeks get so tiresome, and then you get home and you have to do more housework. You have to feed your furry little critters crawling around on the floor, our dogs. Life throws a lot at you, but we got to try to find a little bit of time, and I speak for myself too, to study our Bibles, because we need to build that foundation, build upon it. And we know Christ's parable from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, those who build their house on the rock shall stand. And I'm paraphrasing it, but that's both physically right and spiritually. You build your house on some sloppy sand or mud, that's going to be a disaster. Your house is going to be sinking, and that's going to be your whole bank account down the drain. You don't want to do that. And that also applies spiritually. We want to build our house on the rock. And who is that rock? It's not Dwayne Johnson. No. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that rock. And we need to build upon that. And we have to have faith in God too, that He will help us with His Holy Spirit and make all the things that we've heard or read come back to memory, just like the apostles. Faith must triumph over fear, because fear could sometimes set in when we're questioned, why do you do that? Sometimes you get goosebumps like, oh no, I don't want to be here right now. But you never know. God might be using you to draw somebody in and call them. And there will be times where we will be defeated, where we won't be able to explain. I've had that happen countless times with coworkers or friends, where I try to explain something and I just didn't know enough information. But we could get there. We just got to keep working at it. And then someday, maybe, we'll have another person sitting in this congregation with us. Or two, or three, or more. You never know. But we got to be gentle and have faith. And also, when we're giving this knowledge, we want to be us ourselves, we want to be encouraged by the Word of God, and we want to encourage others while we're spreading this gospel. Again, we don't want to discourage them. We want to encourage them and get them interested in what we believe. So, brethren, that's pretty much a little, maybe a refresher for some, or maybe a brand new enlightenment to what apologetics is. So, let's build our foundation and let's present it gently.